This is a test of the emergency broadcast system.
This is only a test.
DJs and MCs.
This DJ, he gets it out.
Listen to this disc jockey's introduction to
two DJs and a mic with your host, DJ Mike.
Is that a timetable?
And DJ JP.
Well, get on it. It's your turn.
Give me the mic.
Okay, welcome to another edition of Two DJs and One Mic. We're live in Austin, Texas, Bat Town.
That's it.
Forgive me. I've been in the Bat Cave. I won't let y'all know that. But we're live here in Austin, Texas, with the owners of Bat City Beats.
That's it.
And we got Aaron, DJ AWOL, and he is AWOL.
I'm here.
He's AWOL to be with us.
That's right.
Yeah. And we got DJ
Nima.
Same as Nima. And we got Greg, DJ G Sharp. Yes. So thank you guys for joining us. How y'all doing today?
We're great.
Fantastic.
Thanks for coming down to Austin.
Oh yes, it was an honor. We were on the road for about 15 hours.
You must have took a wrong turn.
Yeah, we did.
Should take you three.
Yeah. We wind up in El Segundo. What is it? El Segundo.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did you leave your wallet?
Hey. Yeah. Got a
reference. Yes.
Truck Called Quest. That's kind of my era.
Okay.
Early
90s. Yeah. Oh, you're about five.
I'm from Hawthorne.
It's like seven.
But no, we really thank you guys for asking us to come down. When Jeff told me about it, it was really an honor. We weren't gonna miss it. So then he showed me the video. You know, Aaron came in and, you know, did the little video showing us the room. And hey, we got a room. At a hotel either.
Look at that. Nice podcast room, lights, everything. Everything already set up.
Yes, it's nice.
We rolled out the red carpet for you.
Yeah, y'all really did. Thank y'all for being so nice to us.
We had to pull strings. They don't let people in here after hours.
That's true.
We had to call in some favors to get in after five.
Aaron had to do the magic.
Please. Magic man.
Yes.
But no, we're great to have you guys. So I don't want to get out of line on the questions. So I'm gonna let Jeff go to, you know, get this party started because I'm already out of control.
So we're going to make sure we go ahead and thank all our sponsors real quick, y'all. So we have to give a shout out to Curator Live, our platinum sponsor. Curator Live, the number one photo booth software featuring customization, easy setup, share options, printing, and cloud-based storage. Reach Curator Live at info@curatorlive.com. Phone number 800-708-0247. That's right. Call James and tell him we sent him the number one photo booth software.
Okay.
I can vouch for that. I use Curator Live.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Good.
And James is good.
He's wonderful.
You need help, he pops up.
Yeah. I've called him. He's washing his dog in the tub, and he got a leper in the tub and took care of my problem. On a Saturday morning. Yeah.
Unattended?
No.
I'm going to call CPS.
Why don't we move on?
Escalated quickly.
Okay. We're not going to get off track. He's a great guy. He'll take care. So, gents, we're going to go around the table. We'll rotate. Start this way with Greg this time. So, what got you into the DJ industry, sir?
Oh, boy. I kind of fell into it. I used to make tapes of myself pretending to be a radio DJ. Somebody at school heard I was a DJ, thought I was that kind of a DJ, asked if I could do, I was a freshman in high school, wanted me to do a party for the seniors. I was like, sure, I want to hang out with the seniors. And then he said, is $50 enough? And I didn't think I was going to get paid. And I was like, you know, I charge more normally, but for you, I can do it. And I was broke kid. I'd never seen $50 in one place. So I quickly realized I'm going to do this again. So I guess the answer is money.
Okay.
Crass commercial.
That's not the normal, but okay.
Yeah. Let me ask you this though. So what was your first DJ name?
Oh no.
Oh, I think I was just Greg at that point. Okay. I wasn't until later I came up with DJ names. Like at that point, I was just a freshman named Greg who borrowed a couple turntables. So, and,
but the first time you had a name.
What was the first name that you named?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
Or that you were given.
Hey,
that was I think it was Lucky G.
Lucky G. I like that. Lucky
G. Get Lucky G.
This is Lucky G. Yeah. Let's go.
Did they have something?
He got the radio.
Just random. I used to do a lot of from there. I started doing a lot of like electro breakdancer parties.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah.
I kind of needed like a hip hoppy MC stage because I would rap too. And I still do. We're in a band and we still have a segment where
do you got a lyric or a verse you can drop on?
Oh, dang.
Nope, not right now. I'll explain why in a second.
We'll come back to it. All right.
I'll get back to it.
All right.
Tell us
how you got into business. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Neela. I got you.
Money. Yeah, well, no, I was trying to make beats. I was trying to rap and make beats mostly. And, so I had a MPC 500. And then I need something else. So I bought the Stanton CDJs, the 304s, and I was playing around with those, bought a mixer. And somebody asked me to do a wedding. I did a wedding. I didn't think nothing of it. I brought computer speakers to this freaking wedding. I brought computer speakers and a sub.
Oh, my God.
It was at the Riverwalk in San Antonio. They paid me nothing. It was a free gig.
Do you feel like they should have paid
me? They should not have paid me. No, they should not have paid me.
You ripped them off.
So could they hear?
I have no idea. I don't remember. I think they danced a little bit.
Some
computer speakers.
I know, but I'm pretty sure back then that wasn't the case.
They definitely
it was two sets, and one of them had a sub. So there's something there.
It was that Gateway brand.
Say you don't remember if they danced. Is that because you wiped that from
It might
memory?
Be. Yeah, I might be Men in Black. I can give myself a little zapper. It's possible. It's very possible.
So was that your only first and only DJ name, Nima?
No. Oh, you don't want to ask me.
Come on.
So for a minute there, I was really inspired by DJ Screw. So I was making screw tapes with this guy, John.
Okay.
And there was another guy in Houston, DJ Mr. Rogers.
Yeah.
And he would do these screw tapes with the Boss Hog Outlaws.
Okay.
And he had this toilet flush sound effect, like instead of air horn, it would go whoosh. Yeah, DJ Mr. Rogers, like some dope shit or something like that. So I was trying to like piggyback on that, but I did it wrong. I called myself DJ Poo Pants. I swear to God. I made like four or five tapes.
Are they like, still around, Poo Pants?
They're only in my CD case in the attic somewhere.
Oh my God.
I know where they are.
So were you sagging?
Huh?
Were you sagging?
There's no pictures of me. I was just in my room just making these screw tapes.
Oh,
how did that
go from Mr. Rogers?
Because of the flush.
Because the flush sound. I was like, this is the dope shit.
So when did you realize you needed to change your damn
the next day?
As soon as I gave one of the tapes.
Jumping out of partnership.
They didn't know this ahead of time. I should have had you guys sign an NDA.
When you really got into it doing weddings, did that when you decided to change?
Oh, I changed it real quick. So it was that same summer that I had that, and then I was working for a local production company, Arts and Labor. And they were like, "Oh, you DJ on the side?" And I was like, "Yeah, here's my mixtape." They clowned me for my name so hard. I was like, "All right."
They clowned you.
Yeah.
What did they say?
They were right too. You have to learn these lessons to not name yourself ridiculous stuff like that.
Someone named David Rogers said hello to you guys. What's up, James?
What's up, David?
Oh my gosh. Poop
hands. Hey.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's a crazy name, man. Cedric had a crazy name too back in the day too.
What was Cedric's name?
I can't remember. It wasn't worse than that.
You
might be top five. All right.
Top five.
Come on,
not number one.
All right.
Yeah.
What are the four
who's number
one?
Okay. I'm claiming the title. It's worth something.
With you, we're on Earth, you're on Mars.
I think he's on Uranus.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my God.
That's some dope shit.
Oh, my goodness. All right, come on.
Y'all need to make a drop.
Man, I started back 10 years ago as a karaoke host.
Okay.
I
I was just sitting out in the crowd. A good friend of mine was, well, wasn't a good friend then, but he was just out there. And said, hey, who wants to sing this song? And it was a super embarrassing song. And I ended up singing it. He liked it. And he was like, hey, do you want to be a host? And I was like, okay, I'll be a host. I was getting paid $75 a show. And then finally somebody
$75.
I know. It was amazing. I got to drink for free. I got to be like the man at a very just awesome dive bar. It was awesome. I mean, I was living life.
Stardust.
We can't throw down now names. We have to pay for that kind of promotion. No. But yes, it was an awesome dive bar. But I started there, and then somebody was like, hey man, you play really good music in between songs. Should be a DJ. And I'm like, I don't know. But I ended up learning how to DJ. Then finally somebody asked me to do their wedding. And when I did their wedding, it was the worst wedding. And if he's still out there, he knows. It was yours. It was the first wedding.
What happened?
Tell a story about the song you played and what they said.
No, it wasn't even about a song. It was me going, hey, I don't know anything about what I'm doing, but I do know you should probably get a couple microphones for the ceremony. And they're like, nah, it's okay. And you know this, it's a South Austin.
You can't say the name either. I was there last weekend.
Vineyards Chapel Lodge.
Was it?
And yeah, that was it.
Okay.
And it was back in the day. They didn't have the pavilion out there. They brought up. So basically he said, hey, they have all their sound equipment. I just need you to plug in and play. And if you know their sound equipment that they have, you understand. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I think you should get all this stuff.
Elevator music.
But right as they started doing their vows, sorry, Billy, you know it's you. It's and this train comes by and I'm in the back and I'm just like, dude, I should have listened to me. But then it doesn't end there because then it's like, hey, you don't have to bring your own speakers. So I was using the in-house speakers. Yes, the in-house speakers. And during dinner and cocktails, no problem. It was okay. But right when we started dancing, like, hey, can you turn it off? It's been on max from the beginning. Like, what are you talking about? It's been on max. But the one thing out of all of that stuff that happened, I found out that I loved being around people getting married because it's so much fun. So that's kind of where I started.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so Lori has checked in.
He's always been DJ AWOL, but you had some company names.
Hold on. Yeah,
come on. Tell me your first company, because I laid it bare for everybody to smell.
Yeah, he did.
So when I started doing I started a karaoke company, first thing I did. And the karaoke company that I chose after my buddy was like, hey, you just use all my stuff while you know, getting to learn everything. But then finally I got my own venue. He's like, got to get your own name now. So got to think about it. And so thought about it, came back, and I call myself King Human Karaoke.
King Human Karaoke.
Yes, all at once. No, okay, yeah. It was King Human Karaoke. And the reason was I was watching this YouTube influencer at the time, like 10, 15 years ago, probably 10 years ago. He was just showing you how to make money. And I was just like, oh man, I was just so enthralled with like how he was showing everybody how to make money. I was like, King Human Karaoke. It kind of sounds cool. And then I was like, I had a little crown. It was back in the day with the real weird animation and like no expression. So I had this like collared shirt on with just this crown. It's called King Human Karaoke. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I don't even know how to process
that. Yeah, I don't either.
How quick did you change that?
I mean, it was like, once I became a DJ, it was then
DJ
off key karaoke and DJ. So then it was okay karaoke from there. And then from there, there was different names.
That was quite incredible, Mike. Moving on to the next
one. Yeah,
it's hard to toss that.
Yeah.
Oh, we all come from weird beginnings.
Oh my goodness.
Let me just flush one.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, let's go.
All right, here it is. Right here.
Okay, so where did the Bat City DJ's name come from? I know we talked about this earlier, but
Bat City Beats?
Yeah. I don't know why I keep saying it.
Bat City is the Bat City. We're famous for our bats. You're in Bat City right now.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
I did not know that.
Though. Me either. That was the first.
I never knew.
Nima has a better answer because of where it really started from. Okay.
But it is referencing the bats under the Congress Bridge. We used to do. We still do. We partner with Capital Cruises. They do these bat tours. People have a little drinky drink. We go hang out under the Congress Bridge. We see the bats fly out, and that was the common link between me and Aaron originally, was we would both do those boats for another company, Austin Tour Company. And do them now ourselves. Feel good. And it was the concept of having a captive audience. You got your 50 to 100 people on a boat. You guys are stuck together. Like, either they're going to jump off and swim to the shore, or I am, or we're all going to sit there and we're going to have a party. And we always had to figure out how to make them have a party. And so no matter who it was, what the corporate client was, it could be teachers, it could be students, it could be, you know, software engineers. We're trying to figure them out as DJs. And in that last hour, we get them dancing. You know, they might not know who the hell we are that first hour, but if we're doing our job as DJs, we figure it out and they're going crazy and we're getting noise complaints by the end of that boat. And so to me, that was the energy I was trying to build with this, because weddings are just kind of similar, right? You got a captive audience. I mean, they can leave and that kind of sucks if they do, but really it's just you and that one group of people, that audience that's there, and you guys got to work together to make that party happen.
So are there a lot of companies in Austin called Bat City? Maybe?
There's other Bat City companies. No other entertainment
Bat City
companies.
Circus, Bat City. There's a few other things.
But yeah, I think there's a – is there a liquor store?
And this is the first I've ever heard.
Yeah, I know. And
it's just – it's like the Windy City, Rose City, Emerald City.
We've heard of the Windy City.
Austin is
y'all are in Dallas.
Austin,
so y'all
are really. Austin and Tulsa was a much smaller
city. When I
talked
to y'all in Vegas this year, and I heard, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. My wife knew it though, because she used to come down here for work.
Okay.
She worked for an architectural firm, so they used to come.
Is that
down
your mom?
And it is my mom. Yeah.
And, how you doing, mom?
That was his mom on that.
Yeah.
Your son has super some very unhumbling.
Maybe can we do callers? We could have her call in and tell us. Yeah.
Oh, shout out. I need a shout out.
But no, I just wonder, where did Bat City come from? But I don't know because the bats under
like
the
a lot of things in Austin, it's under the radar. Most of the rest of the country kind of forgets Austin. You think of Texas, you think of Dallas, Houston.
Yeah.
You think of the top biggest cities in America. Austin's the 10th biggest city.
It's a big city. Nobody thinks that.
Nice, you start rattling off cities,
drive through here, you know. Yeah. This traffic is horrible.
And no, it's beautiful.
It's just kind of, sometimes you're like on this little island of your own, and people from here know
better. Yeah, y'all considered number four.
In Texas.
City-wide.
But number 10 in America.
And y'all probably should be in front of, number one definitely in front of San Antonio.
San Antonio is still a lot bigger. I think they got like more people, right?
So,
you know, the way it's going, it's going to be what they're going to smush together.
Yeah, they're going to end up touching.
Then Dallas is going to hit where it's going to be just city of Texas or something.
It's possible. Yeah, it looked like they're trying to do it.
You see how many cranes were up when you came to
town? Yeah, the city is really growing. Yeah, and I remember when you used to come down, and when I first joined the Air Force and I did my first trip down that Highway 35.
Camp Mabry?
From Wichita Falls going down. And I mean, there was nothing on 35 back then. Construction barrels, but as usual, but nothing else. But man, 1985.
Dang.
What are you old? But
Even start reminiscing.
All right. So tell us how the current Bat City Beats team came together. How did y'all all become one?
All right, let's start
with your entrance.
So I had a vision.
Okay.
I had a vision back in the
somebody
day.
Cue up Mariah.
But I ended up meeting him. I ended up working for this guy at the wedding shop, or I ended up meeting a guy at the wedding shop. I don't know if I worked with him.
I don't think I ever did a gig,
but I was interested in working with him and just kind of finding out how he ran his business.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up meeting Nima through there, but I just remember you coming out the door one day and going, hey, I've got this October gig, man. Do you want it? And I'm like, I don't know who the hell you are. Like, sure, yeah. I love gigs. Let's go. And so I remember like
taking, so did y'all do it together?
We didn't do it together. He was already booked. And so I think I did it, and I was like, okay, cool. And I remember seeing him at a wedding show.
Mm-hmm.
Saw him at a wedding show, and then I don't know how we ended up like hooking up the first time, but I started using him as a DJ, and he just quickly, out of all the people that I hired, for one, he was the only one that knew how to DJ. Everybody else, they were just karaoke hosts, okay? I was trying to teach karaoke hosts how to DJ, and it was not working out.
So I thought it was the other way around, where you were the
well, so he's going way back in time.
Yeah, no, so I started all this back in the day, and then I had an issue where I had to leave and go to California. Okay. When I went to California, I split things in two ways, and he got a bunch of gigs, and then somebody else got a bunch of gigs, and then kind of that was that.
Mm-hmm.
I went to San Diego to try and make it out there. Ended up doing the right stuff, but during that time trying to run everything, but it just wasn't working out. So I finally just let it all go, and then that's what
it's 2020. It was COVID, right?
But that was 8 years ago. So 8 years ago is when that all happened. But then I ended up moving a couple other places. Came back.
Yeah.
Or ended up landing in Portland, Oregon. And when I was up there, I saw Nima down here rocking it during COVID. He's like, yeah, I'm doing 250 events. I'm like, I can't even do 25 person events. Like I'm coming down. And so I ended up coming down, and he's like, hey, I'll book you out a couple times. Like, I got some stuff, cause I was planning on going back down to San Diego, but he kept booking me out. Another company kept booking me out. And finally I was like, me and him kind of came together, and I was like, hey, let's do this stuff together. Cause we had to buy this one expensive piece of equipment, and we're just like, I don't want to do it by myself.
And we started running our own boats.
That's right.
We started another company called Bat City Boats. And this was me and Aaron running, like, selling tickets. Like, you pay $50, you come on our boat. It's a booze cruise. We'll get you sauced up. We'll play some dope tunes.
And we crushed it. We'd sell. Yeah. Man, I think we had like 85 to 100 people on those boats.
And the company, they didn't want to do them. Like, we had to convince the boat company to, hey, let this many people on. And it's 2021.
Oh, yeah, because it was still COVID. That's
And everybody was still scared.
So
what
was the max on the boat?
We only let 50 as well.
They only wanted 50.
But I'm saying without COVID.
100.
100.
Okay. Yeah. So they were going at half capacity. But
So moving right along.
Oh, so me. Okay.
Yes, how did you come about?
I used to go to these, I'm into turntablism, the scratching and the, you know, and so I used to see him sometimes at the turntablist get togethers. And then one time this other DJ invited me to this video game arcade that had like a live stream to do some scratching.
Uh-huh.
And he showed up, and I recognized he had this scratchy Seal record on white vinyl. It was just filthy. It looked like he buried it in dirt.
Yep.
And I was like, that's that record. I never knew whose record.
You didn't recognize my face. You recognize how dirty my record
that
was.
That filthy ass record. I always said. But we started talking, and I sent him a link to this mix. I was like, if you like this, we can work together. And he loved it. And so we started the band together. And now we're two DJs in a band. So to go back to when you went to
two
rap.
Two DJs in a band.
We do like a 1970s style hip hop. It's a strictly live, like street show, Bronx style, like Bambada or Flash. It's just two, three, and four MCs, the two of us, break dancers. Wow. And we specifically don't record anything. So if you want to hear us or see us, you have to come see us live. Because this is like hip hop pre Sugar Hill Gang. And so that's why we don't like to do our verses or do our beats. If you want us, we do something where I bring turntables and I bring original press vinyl of all these old breaks. I recreate things with double copies, looping them and, you know, beat juggling. He takes live finger drumming and he samples what I'm doing live and remixes it live. And our thing is we want to be like a band where, like, if you saw the Rolling Stones and, you know, Mick Jagger just pushed play on a tape and sang over it, you'd boo him off the stage. You want to hear them. So every time you see us, we do it live.
Wow.
And we've been doing that for a few years, and we were always taught we should be working together more. We're always passing gigs back and forth. And then finally, last year, we went out to Hoodies, Best Sandwich in Austin in Round Rock. Hoodies subs. And we just sat down, and I was like, you know, we should be working together. You know, you should either be part of my group or I should be part of yours. Bat City Beach, you guys have it going on. And he's like, yeah, let's bring you on board. And we met with Aaron. We went golfing and talked it over, and it seemed like a perfect fit. So I joined the team. Cool. So I'm the new guy, but I think we each bring something important to the table. We each have a skill the other one doesn't, and the three of us, it's like this perfect symbiosis.
When we see you guys, it's like y'all been together forever.
Yeah,
we hit it off instantly. Yeah. Like we are. I feel like, you know, there's definitely chemistry here.
Oh yeah, and when we met you guys in Vegas, it was cool. And I was like, man,
that's a good time.
No, it was like y'all been together forever.
Yeah.
So we're
the Marx Brothers. It's like it's all choreographed.
We're the Three Stooges.
We're the Three Stooges.
Pick your reference.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's good to see that.
That's older than the Marx.
Yeah.
Synergy.
Yes, but it's good to see that because being here with you guys today,
snap, crackle, and pop.
It's like y'all all bring something different to the table, and it makes a whole company.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
You know, and they were saying that, You're the big brother.
No, he's DJ Daddy.
No, yeah. He knows what he calls already. DJ Daddy.
Oh my God. I had to explain some basic things about like fiscal responsibility.
See, he's not wrong.
Accruing interest.
See, Mom, they were paying everything cash.
I don't pay cash.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Oh, my. So I bet you I have a credit card that y'all
We got a rewards card now. Yeah,
y'all got a rewards card now. We got a high yield bank account now. They weren't getting interest on their money. They were getting a quarter of a percent. Now we're getting close to 3%.
Making money. That's all we're doing.
Yeah.
Hey, DJ Daddy.
I know, you're right.
I don't need somebody like that to push us and point us in the right direction.
And I kind of turn into the closer. When we have these clients, I get in there and I...
You're the specialist.
Yeah.
The closer.
Yeah. He is.
So do you wear a doctor's jacket or a
he
suit?
Should
bring
because he operates on. I'll tell you that. Man.
Bring in the clothes. Y'all need to just have a button. Bring him in.
Wow. We have a difficult one. Let's go, Greg. Come here.
So, do y'all okay? So, like, if a lead comes in, who handles it? How do y'all handle it? Do y'all rotate them, or does one person
I handle all. I guess what you call the admin. Everything that comes in, I check the email. These guys don't like email.
I try
to respond within like 1 to 2 minutes. Like an email comes in. If I'm awake, I get on it. Like I'm just bam, response. And
that's very good at that.
I sort of do like a round robin type of thing where like as it comes in, I'll rotate through as who's gonna do it, but it's based on who's available and it's also based on what they want.
Yeah.
If they need he's the master mixer. He's Mr. Personality. I'm like the breadth of musical knowledge. Like it depends. Each of us has a strong suit as a performer too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, everything kind of that comes in at least digitally goes through me. And then I'm kind of like sifting it out and then pulling teeth to get these guys to Aaron, respond to this person.
Well,
Nima, there's an email.
Ideally the flow goes. Yeah. And then they set up a meeting and then we do the call.
Yeah.
And we crush the sales calls. And then it used to be we'd have the admin send the contract, but right now I usually write my own contracts.
Yeah, I write mine. Yeah, whoever takes the call just fills the contract out in DJP and fires it out.
Maybe you should be doing the contracts now too.
Probably.
Yo, you're gonna bid
up the price.
I am so tired of seeing the contract where it's like this, massive discount, free this, free that. I'm like, what are you doing?
Hey, go in your report to DJ.
I got a heart.
And just look at all the discount codes.
Heartless. We need heartless.
No, it's not heartless, y'all. It's just trying to get what you're worth.
Yeah,
well, and people going to play on your heartstrings.
Well, I'll tell you, here's a secret that I don't want my clients to know.
Uh-huh.
But every gig.
Wait a minute, hold on. You can't say that and then give away the secret.
Well, clients don't watch you. This is
something I want them to think they should have known. But I want them to know this because they're going to feel like
My bad. Reverse psychology.
They're going to think I don't want their money. I'm really trying to get my hand in their pocket, but they think I'm patting them on the head. No. So every gig, just like this weekend, every gig we have, I find out right away what needs to happen.
Uh-huh.
Every piece of equipment, every light, every mic, whatever it takes. And that's what they get. I'll bill them for as much of as I can. But ultimately, if they can't afford something, or they don't want to pay something, they're still going to. And I'm never going to go out. I'm never going to send anybody out ill prepared due to the job, right?
Mm-hmm.
We did a giant wedding, huge budget, just this past weekend.
Across the street?
Well, okay, I didn't want, but anyhow, at some
place. Okay.
Yeah. Well, but I don't want people to know who.
Take that out.
No, take that out.
They needed an extra speaker. It was too late to bill them for an extra speaker. I just brought the extra speaker.
Oh.
They needed something extra in the ceremony. I just brought it. I didn't even tell. I didn't call them and say, hey, I knew they needed it. I put it in the truck. I showed up and they had it. So they never knew they got it for free. They probably didn't know it was there.
Yeah.
But it sounded.
So they probably just think it's a part of the whole.
Yeah. But it sounded perfect. It looked perfect. Everything was just like that event.
The client experience was
flawless.
Yeah. I feel like once you hit a certain threshold in cost and they're paying us a certain amount of money, we can do stuff like that. And we are more likely
and that's
to.
That's the other thing.
It's just
too.
when they're nickel and diming for everything and trying to get a discount on every single thing, and then they want more things.
That'll be
they
the
want
one
at a discount.
Well, if you didn't bring we need a speaker here. You didn't bring it.
Yeah. That's the one that's gonna complain.
If you would have put a speaker right there.
Yeah.
100%.
We had some of those last weekend too, where they wanted the moon and everything else, but they wanted to, give you a nickel for it. They still got everything. We gave them everything.
Mm-hmm.
I got what I could, and we made them happy, and they were ecstatic at the end of it. But, I never want to leave an event or have any of our guys leave an event feeling like we didn't give them
everything,
the perfect experience,
the all.
Yeah. Or the best we could do. We make mistakes.
But sometimes you can't because you don't know everything.
I was
talking about that one event. I was like, man, how are you supposed to know that?
There are surprises.
If they don't tell you.
Yeah. I mean, then you don't. You just go there and that's part of your experience.
Yeah. It's all that knowledge that you have now translates into every wedding that you do. Like, this could go wrong. So you bring all that extra equipment just in case. Yeah. Yeah. And then it's just there.
So do you think it's something that you can improve on?
Absolutely. No, we're perfect. The Mona Lisa under. No, yeah, we are all a work in progress. Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's many things I know I need to improve. And I'm sure we all feel the same way.
No, I'm perfect as well.
Yeah.
DJ AWOL. Wow. Oh, yeah. You went AWOL from life.
Yeah.
Just go.
Where's the white jacket?
Yeah, get him a jacket. All right. So here's a quick one. Try to make it short because you guys get
long. We're talking.
All right. Oh, really? What is something about the wedding industry that you guys love?
Yes.
Yes. You just love the industry.
I was being short and
sweet. It's okay. It was sweet too. Okay, you.
Hey, I know what I love.
I love a packed dance floor. There's nothing better than a wedding dance floor to me, because there's just so much love and positivity. Like a club dance floor, like people are trying to get just blitzed. You know, they're just trying to go. But at a wedding, like they're getting blitzed for a purpose. For a reason.
I like
that. That was a whole different way that I thought it was going to go.
You don't think they're doing it for a purpose at the club?
It's a good purpose. It's to bring a union into existence, right? It's celebrating something that is an institution that's gonna live ideally forever, right? If you get married, it's for forever.
That kind of goes into what I love about
okay,
it.
What
is,
do you love about it?
It's just those two people being in love and starting that journey, and like this is probably to this point the happiest moment in their life.
Yeah.
Maybe even happier as life goes on. But it's just like you're part of like one of the greatest days in their life.
Absolutely.
And it just, I just love being here.
That's your answer.
I mean, I love being around love. I know it sounds corny, but it's like you have two families you get to bring together, and you get to take that dance floor and create that masterpiece of a just mosh pit of people having a great time. And then it's, man, they're never going to forget that day.
Yeah. I'm totally sincere saying this. Yeah.
So,
for the right reasons. Jump off.
So, what is something about, what do you like about, well, that's industry. We y'all talk about just weddings. We talk about the industry.
I was trying to follow this list that you're jumping around.
No, I didn't know.
But anyway, let me answer that question. It's not here.
Yes, it is. But go ahead.
Kind of like you, Greg, I love seeing two people, two families, two group of friends coming together with a common purpose. And like you, I love to see them, you know, leaving everything out there on the dance.
Everything out there, yeah.
No, it's,
you
know,
that's it, yeah.
And one of the things that I get a joy out of, I love when I play a song and people look at me like, what do you know about that? You know, when you see that, like, what, you know, I love that. You know, I get giggles out of that. What about you, Jeff?
Oh, mine is a little different. I like when the groom walks through the door for the first time. To me, that is the most magical moment in a way.
Sure.
Especially if they haven't done a first look or anything, and he sees her. And now, just seeing, you know, people are not so hard these days, so guys cry. And I just think that's one of the most beautiful moments in a way, and I love that about it. I just love the happiness and the joy, the whole thing. I mean, it's just all memories, great times. So
you ever cry at a wedding?
I really have.
I have.
Yeah.
A wedding or DJ?
Oh, man. Yeah, there have been times
I've had grooms or somebody give a speech cut my soul that was just so good. I was like,
I still remember it too.
I wish they were all like that, you know.
So when that happened, did you get on the mic and say anything?
Oh, no. I'm in the back.
I get on the mic. I'm in the back trying not to, like, wipe it off my face. And we're like, man.
I mean, you've had some speeches that have been great or something.
I don't know. It's touching moments.
Yeah.
I'm talking about it. Weddings are beautiful, man.
Yeah,
it
will. Yeah.
Here's one of the other things I like on that same note is if you're a married person, you get marriage advice and counseling every weekend. You hear like advice, oh, hey, do this. Okay.
And maybe this will help.
Even if I'm in a fight with my wife and then I go and I watch the A Good Officiant, I'm like, yeah.
I thought I was the only one, but my wife usually sit by me.
Oh, okay.
So I'll just look at her. Or hunt
you. I was telling my girlfriend that time. I was like, hey, just want to let you know when I do weddings, I get real mushy on this weekend. You better be up for it.
Don't judge me, baby.
Yeah, don't judge me. I swear. I'm a hard man.
I'm a hard man.
This is a beautiful thing.
But it reminds you also, it kind of continues to. Make that bond between you and your wife strong.
Yeah, I think so.
It's like, man.
It must be nice with your wife there, because then she's really, because otherwise you have to go home and kind of explain. She didn't see
it. Yeah, she saw it firsthand.
She's just same old same.
Oh, yeah. We talk about it too sometimes. Yeah. They'll make a minister make a good comment or a speech. Oh, yeah. We both over there just.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah, maybe she's recording them, showing my wife.
Yeah. Start live streaming.
Yeah. So, she'll tell me that's what you need to be doing.
That's what you need to be doing.
You know, two piece. She gonna hear. Yeah, really?
Did you?
You're
hear
not
it?
Doing that. But it's all fun and games. Oh, it's all good. All right, so we'll flip it up. So, what is something you guys hate about it?
Get lugging the gear around, just packing up and carrying it up and downstairs, and these ridiculous old hotels with tough loads and pushing a trolley up a hill and standing out in the Texas sun.
The heat?
Man, I'm telling you,
heat and the rain.
I don't like the sweat lately. I'm sorry.
It rains a lot here?
I got rained on my wedding this weekend. Twice.
It rains a lot until it doesn't.
It's a lot of rain.
But they want to see the bride did her ceremony outside still, even though it's sprinkling on people.
Did she have to have
did you cover your
rain
feet?
Boots on?
I was under a cover. Yeah, I had a little awning on that one. But, but not on my Sunday.
My business partner did a wedding out on the golf course. Man. And I'm talking about it was way out there too, because it was down a hill and out. And I'm like, man, if it start raining, y'all done. Nobody's going to make it out of this drive. And they had one little tent that he was under. I was like, oh,
Mike needed to. You remember the, have y'all ever saw the picture that was floating around on Facebook where the guy put one of those containers?
On top of the plastic container on the speaker.
Yeah, put it on the speaker pole.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
So all he had to do then is just put the top on.
And close it up.
Yeah.
But this weather has been horrible the last few weeks.
I know, the summer heat. And everybody gets married outdoors.
Everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Find an air conditioner.
This Texas heat is nothing nice.
Yeah, it's
I'm always out in some field.
Some field.
It is.
It will be fields.
We do farms, and just like I'm just out in the middle.
Rustic.
Yeah, I'm just standing under the sun for an hour.
iPad about to melt in your hand.
There you go. I hate photo booth printers. That's the only thing. I
The year before
outside,
last,
do y'all do photo booths outside?
No.
If they want to.
Depends. Oh, it depends.
We haven't had a bad situation to make us not do it yet. So.
Well, we'll coach. Sometimes if it's a big event like a wedding, they'll ask and we'll tell them you got to put them inside.
Yeah, we had the photo booth outside at the Eclipse party.
But
for
that was it hot?
No, it was raining.
Oh God!
And they didn't care. They're like, we'll put it out there anyway. I'm like, if it rains, then.
Did y'all have a tent? Did y'all travel with tents?
They wouldn't let us. This guy had a bazillion dollars. Wow. He had Mos Def play the part.
Don't say no names.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say nothing, but
don't say any names. Just
and it was just like, this is where we're putting the photo.
Come on now.
And I brought a tarp. So when it rained, we threw the rain tarp over it. But it's like sometimes they just put you somewhere, and that's where you're gonna be put.
Yeah.
And it worked out, but. Wow. You got to do what the client wants.
I thought maybe y'all would do more city stuff here than we do, because we have a bunch of rustic and barns. Because I used to think location mattered, but we go some places, man, I almost have to put on a helmet, some road gear, and just go off the side of a mountain. And I'm like, how did y'all find this venue?
Same thing out here.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of rural areas.
It has a beautiful view.
Yeah.
At sunset.
Y'all ever been to Luling? Anyone of you guys ever been to Luling? Did a wedding right there by the... So I met a couple. I did a wedding in Dallas, and they were like, we want you to come do our wedding. I ain't think nothing of it. They called me. It's on Tuesday, December the 23rd. So they brought us down, paid for everything. But it was in Luling on the side of a river somewhere.
Okay, yeah, right there at that river.
Yeah, and I'm okay.
Is it at the park?
Yeah, I'm like, how y'all find this? I mean, y'all live in, down in the valley. How you find this venue? There's so many between here and Dallas.
I have done an event there.
Yeah, and I'm like,
I did an event there.
But yeah, it's a nice venue, but I mean, you sit in an amphitheater on rocks, and I'm like,
who? Yeah, people will Why? Do things everywhere.
But it's a nice venue, but I'm just like, okay, there's about 200 venues between Dallas and the valley.
Yeah.
And you choose this one.
They paid you full price, though.
It's a very oily smelling city.
Oily
smelling. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it,
right.
It smells like refineries.
You have refineries out
there?
Yeah. I had a problem with it when I went. Like,
no, I didn't have a problem with it, but
I'm just used to it.
Yeah. Maybe. You've been there before?
Well, no, I'm just saying the whole idea, it's, you know, you can be anywhere nowadays. And for me, I hate going down. You're like 20 miles off the highway. There's no light pole.
That's so many of the gigs.
You know, so many and so,
really?
And then the internet is bad.
You ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah. You have to have your location on before you leave.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're just, because I one time I didn't, and I'm just like, oh,
I think about this. I was up in Portland, and that was the same thing. You get up in the mountains and into the certain areas in these gorges, and you're like, I come from Texas, and like how I did things here, man. You can't download anything. You can't get anything. If you,
yeah. Ooh, I have a few venues. I have to go stand outside and hold my hand up like this.
I've done that
one like that just to try to get a signal. But yeah. So, what were you about to say, sir?
There's a place called Sisterdale in Burney, Texas. There's just there is no gas stations for like 20 miles, and I locked my keys in my truck in Sisterdale once, and after a gig. And it was in December. So it was
did
like,
you bust a window?
I was about to. But, I have USAA, so they do like roadside assistance.
Uh-huh.
They call the roadside. They're like, yeah, we got somebody from San Antonio coming to get you. Oh. It'll be 3 hours. So they'll be there at 2 a.m.
In December?
So what was anybody
they
else
had, they had? There's a venue maintenance guy. Uh-huh. And he's like, I'll help you out. He like opened up his truck. He had all these tools. It was like way thicker. It wasn't a slim jim. It was wire, but it was way thicker than like a coat hanger.
Yeah.
And we had to poke through the weather stripping. So
it's still kind of
like sometimes tore that up and just like a video game, like trying to hit that button. It was cold as hell.
Man, how about that guy driving 3 hours though? He's like, gets there, he's like, man,
he's already gone.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I hope so.
Yeah, wow. Man, I
bet you got this in the middle of nowhere. And what if his car?
I know, right? He's calling AAA. Hey, don't be there in 3 hours.
I just thought things would be more city for you guys.
Well, you see, Austin's a city, but it's surrounded by rural area. So some people, they get married at the hotel. Great. Show up. Easy. Well, most people want to do it out.
Some hotels.
Some hotels have a tough load, but at least you're in a comfortable room in the summer.
Yeah.
Most people go out to Wimberley and Fredericksburg and Dripping Springs and these kind of out there areas. And a lot of people do it on their property.
Yeah.
I do all kinds of events.
I've done some of those.
Just out in somebody's field, in somebody's barn, in somebody's pasture.
Wow.
And it's just.
You've done one in a pasture?
I did one in the pastures. Dust everywhere. Like they tried to put this boards down, but it was.
We did
like
one
pig
of those
pin,
too,
but
in a cotton.
A what?
In a what?
You know, to break the horses.
Oh,
so we had to drive through that to get to where they were going to get married.
Yeah.
Man, you tell me, I felt like I had just ate a pile of dust, man. And then, you know, they drove the bride down. And when she got there, I was like, you know what? I just want to go home. Can I just go home?
Were they country like that? Or they just happened to pick that venue?
They were country like that, man.
Yeah.
It was nice. That was, like you said, their property. So they drove. I mean, we did the wedding up at the house in the two garages. They opened up the garages and had everybody inside the garages. Mm. We DJed outside. But you had to drive through the breaking thing to get to where the little field by some pond that she wanted to get. It was beautiful, but I'm like, really?
I was in Hutchinson, and it was like 1:12. And it was in a barn.
Oh, no.
And they had the fan. You know when it gets so hot, the fan, when it's blowing, it's just heat.
It's a hair dryer.
Yeah.
It's a hair dryer.
So, and it was like a 12-hour wedding.
Oh, that's the one where you had some relief, right?
Oh, I had the calls.
Yeah, tapped out.
Dude, hey, you want to make $400? I said, hey, you need to get over here right now.
Tomorrow, I'm selling insurance. New career.
12 hours.
Dude.
Oh, man. Y'all never had one of those? What, 8 to 12?
Nine hours, I think, is the most I ever did.
This is the bad part.
And that was too much.
I thought it was about to be over. I'm like, oh, yes. It's going to be an early one. They said, oh, and by the hour, we got the rest of the family coming. So they had family coming from another state. So
for another party?
No, because they were running
coming
late.
There. So when it's that type of situation, it ain't going to be early.
No, it's not.
So
why didn't they just wait till that family showed up?
Dude, no, no. It was a wedding or was it a party?
It was a wedding ceremony and reception. In between the ceremony and reception, it was like recess.
Oh, God. I've had a few of those.
Dude, yeah, but Kinsey's though, man, like from 2 to 2. Y'all ever done one of those?
No.
Two in the afternoon to two in the morning.
Who does that? Weddings?
A lot of quinceañeras, man.
Quinceañeras.
Where? Quinceañera. Oh. Yeah, yeah. Y'all do a lot of quinceañeras?
Not a lot of them, but, man, you get some. And they definitely come in waves. So, like, you
especially if it's tradition.
Over at 12, and they'll be there at 11:45 with two more coolers.
I personally have done zero quinceañeras, but I did two Brazilian equivalent. They do it on 16. I don't know what they call it in Portuguese, but they do their sweet 16s. Yeah. I've done two of those.
Yeah.
But they were easy.
Oh, man.
Okay.
All right.
Moving right along.
Let's get into a subject y'all really want to get into. Technology.
Technology.
Let's talk about STEMs.
STEMs.
So what is it about it that excites you guys?
It opened the whole world up, right? So when Greg started out, you had to find the breaks and the records. The main thing you're trying to do as a DJ is find that good drum part. And it's got to be that part of the song. And so then when we switched to digital and controllers, it's like, oh, it's easier to do that. Oh, I can find the loop. Oh, I can hot cue it. I just tap this pad. I'm there at that loop, that drum loop there. I got it. I can bring anything in. Oh, and then it was like BPM Supreme gave us intros. Okay, great. Now we got 8-bar intros. But with STEMs, I can put that 8-bar intro wherever I want. You know, I can just stem out the vocals, the melody. I can leave the bass or I cannot leave the bass. And so really, as long as I get to build my own phrasing in any song I want. And so if a song is boring, it's so much easier for me to make it less boring. Like that new Beyonce song, what's it called?
Texas Hold'em. We were talking about this today. This
perfect example. I had Indians dancing to Texas Hold'em at an Indian event. So it was like a Cowboys and Indians kind of thing. Sorry.
Wow. I don't know how to take that, but moving right along.
I'm playing this Beyonce song. Y'all know it. It's got like no snare. It's just like 4 on the floor. It's 110. So I'll just put it. I play it at 120, and I'll put some Calvin Harris drums underneath it, and I'll stem everything else out. And it's so much more danceable. And so I was just able to take something that they want to hear and make it tolerable for me to play because I'm not going to get bored.
So have you made your own mix?
No, I can do it live.
You don't need to anymore.
I don't need to.
You used to have to make your own mix.
Yeah, but I mean, say if you want to duplicate it or have it again.
I know how to do it.
No, I'm just saying share it with somebody or go back. Hey, I made this great.
See, this is part of our aesthetic, though, where if you want to hear it, you come see us do it live. We don't want to, you know, we put it out there.
They're just saying they forget to record it.
That's it. Yeah.
They don't hit the record button. And at the end of the night, they shut their computer.
You do it a little different every time.
Yeah.
That's true. That's your facts, too.
Yeah, it's different every time.
Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
And we forgot to hit record.
We got a couple of questions, and we're going to come back to that. One is from Lydia.
Lydia, what's up?
She said, what's the best event you have DJed?
Boxing matches.
Really?
No, she's a big boxing fan. Best event I've DJed. Oh, man.
I think this is the one that we DJed. That was probably the best event that we can't talk about.
You had to sign an NDA?
No, we just can't talk about it. So, yeah, there is this one person that hires us for these ridiculous, over the top with just, but yeah, we aren't really, but this, they throw some amazing parties.
No.
But yeah, we can't, I mean, it's
It's just
okay. Yeah,
that is one of the best parties, and they were awesome. Yeah.
You know who you are.
Yeah,
you're listening. You are. We appreciate you.
What's the best party you can talk about?
That's true. There you go.
Somebody else go for it. I want to think. I've done a lot of fun ones. Somebody. Oh, actually, I know. This was way back in the day
when the Fugees were brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had like 90s. Boof Baff, like one 12 inch. They were like brand new. And I was DJing this kind of like hip hop festival thing in Berkeley, California, where we had like under like Curious, if you remember Walk Like a Duck, Jamalski, Fugees. I can't remember who else. I think maybe the Coup, and School ED was like the one like, you know, name. It's like an old school artist, but School ED was like the biggest name on the thing. And when the Fugees got there, I think it was Wyclef and Lauryn Hill. And they were like, we can't go on because our DJ missed the flight.
Oh.
And they're like, oh, I was like, well, what does he do? He's like, yeah, well, he does this real specific thing where he plays like the old school breaks, but he has the old vinyl, he loops the breaks. And I was like, I could do that. So I got to be a Fugee for 20 minutes. So I was in the Fugees for 20 minutes.
Wow.
That's cool. I don't know. That is pretty cool.
Our very own Fugee. Yeah.
Yeah. I was a Fugee. Yeah, nothing but
No, but I mean, we've all had events that we love and got to do something.
I got, had a wedding. 2 years ago in November, same Vineyards at Chapel Lodge. I love doing venues.
That's a great place.
Shout out.
And they ended up, there was a destination wedding. They were from Chicago. They come down and this guy goes, hey, I just want to let you know, I didn't tell you this before, but I'm a DJ and I'm bringing like a bunch of DJs to this event. And I just remember thinking in my head, like, well, if I wasn't already nervous about, you know, you being a DJ, wait, what? And so on the day of the event, I just remember, doing one of my introductions, and I remember saying to them, hey, there's a lot of DJs out there. You keep that shit to yourself. You don't mess with my flow until the end of the night. But at the end of the night, if you still want to say something, you let me know. But from that point, I crushed that wedding, and I had that entire place going crazy. I've never had more people crowd surfing wearing a disco helmet. This is the one that they had. They had two go-go dancers on the side of me in disco outfits. And so That's what brought my my disco helmet to life and the picture that you see online. Yeah. But that wedding was the best wedding I have ever done.
That word disco Danny.
That's right, you know. Man, it was amazing. It was incredible.
I mean, you know, there's always stuff that stands out.
So the one I did on Sunday is probably got to be top five. So I'm just going to say that because it happened recently. Because it's in my memory. But yeah, these people sought me out, or they were referred to me because they wanted me to blend H-Town beats like UGK and like, you know, Mike Jones and Fat Pat and all these 50 twins. Houston artists with Bollywood music.
DJ DMD.
Yeah, I did 25 lighters. Yeah, in their barat. So Indian weddings, they do this barat where the groomsmen come out. And they do like their processional, like they do like a parade. And so they're like, we want our barat to be like all this lit, like H-Town stuff with like our Bollywood stuff on top of it. So, and I was using stems. I stem out the lyrics.
See, we got time
right there. I got the doing the south side with the like the little Indian tablas. And they were going crazy.
So do you have beats in your...
On the sampler function in Serato. And I use a DDJ 1000 SRT. Mm-hmm. I keep a kick. 808 clap, 808 snare, 808 hi-hat. I got a sub drop, a white noise, and like an 808 long, like a boom. And then I got like a riser, like a
and a toilet.
And I don't have that. I'm gonna add that in because of you guys.
DJ Boo.
That's pretty cool.
And there's so many things working against it for having a dance floor. It's a daytime wedding. So their dance floor was 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. It was a dry wedding, like they were all sober, and it was raining on us, and I had a full dance floor.
Sometimes it can be like
Lydia said, she wants that mix.
Yeah. See, y'all got people.
I'm gonna do that.
You're gonna have to come
nice,
to.
Nice. I want to hear that mix.
Yeah. Okay. You're gonna have to come to the wedding and get it.
Yeah. You gotta see us live.
Well, that one.
What's up, Terry?
We want to record videos of us doing like a 7-minute mix. And so mine is gonna be a recreation of that barat. So okay. I've already decided.
All right, cool. Thanks.
Mine is just gonna be like
they got a studio already. They just gotta come down here. This is pretty cool. I mean, might need to scoop.
I wanted to be like a little bit darker and more moody, but
you can set the light mode. I'll turn them back on. We good.
Okay.
But anything else on stems? I mean,
going back to the stems.
Man, okay, if we're talking about stems,
a couple other stem things. No, you go for it.
I'm just saying for stems, this is something where you go from genre to genre, like you were saying. But I like that 85 BPM. This is allowing DJs to come in and out of music a whole lot
quicker and a whole lot. I think one of you guys were talking about it earlier, like that people's attentions are getting a lot less. Yeah. And so when you start coming in at like just right away with something new, they're like, oh, okay, let's stay and figure out what song this is or, you know, whatever it is. And then I've gotten to the point where at my gigs, I'm trying to go as fast as I can on some of these, like to build that energy. And stems, it's so easy.
Yeah, no, I do a lot of like the four turntable. I have the SRT as well, and I'll do that four turntable. And with stems now, that's way more effective because it used to be, you got all these songs playing, it's going to be cluttered.
Yes.
But now I can just be doing, I can be creating new songs on the fly, and it makes just like way more creative doing that.
So have it made DJing more fun for you?
For me, 100%.
It's more fun.
Say for everyone.
What about you? It's not more. No, yes, it is. Stop. Don't even try.
You're not allowing me.
Okay, well, go ahead.
Well, I'll answer it. Then you are. It's more fun to me because it's like I can do. Sometimes you feel like DJs are just pretending to be busy. They're doing all.
Yeah.
But now there's a lot more you can be doing because you could be layering all kinds of things in and bringing in and out and adding and subtracting and so it's. It's less boring. Like I'm not just playing it and waiting. Okay, time to mix the next one. Now you can like be on the go the whole time, but you're not overdoing it. You're not cluttering up the mix. You're not just doing stuff for the sake of doing it. You're doing it to improve what they're hearing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What were you about to say?
Well, for me, I can't say that it's funner for everybody.
Of course.
Because there is a slew of people out there that don't know how to use that nor other things on a controller. So I will not utter such madness. That is best for everybody.
So many YouTube channels that show you how to use it.
Yeah. Hey.
There's
so many different types of DJs. Like Q-Bert, what's Q-Bert going to use? I mean, find some more vocals to scratch maybe. Yeah. But
I'm just saying it's just some people don't use it. Because they just don't use it. Some people don't know how to use it. But for those of us that use it and know how to use it, it's for me, it's just giving me another level of love.
Another level
for what I do. Because when I started DJing, we always had to use the acapellas to do things like this. Now I have something more than an acapella.
Yeah.
Because okay, I want the vocals. But I want the melody too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I don't want that. I just want the vocals and the kick drum.
Yeah.
You know, so it gives you so much to play with.
Yeah.
And it's I love it.
And you know what's funny?
Yeah. I love it.
Stems, I feel, is something that since even way back in the vinyl days,
everybody wanted it.
Not the audiences assumed you could do that. Yeah. How many times could you play just the lyrics for me? No, I can't.
Just think, 3 years ago, we didn't have it. Yeah, Virtual DJ had it. And if you're not using Virtual DJ, you didn't have it.
But in the 80s, like every crowd, they assumed that every DJ could just do that.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it's not. And I assumed it would never. I'd be like, that one in my life.
Well, I mean, back then we had records with acapella.
You had instrumentals.
Yeah. But everybody didn't make it. It's just like LL Cool J. He never made instrumentals.
Yeah. I just always want, the doo-wop.
Yeah,
I always wanted to instrument the doo-wop.
Do y'all know about the doo-wop?
Badass song, but there's no instrumental.
Oh, man, you gotta listen to that. Change your life. I love that song.
Yeah, that entire album is great, but that's the piece de resistance.
Well, now you can stem out the vocals. Yeah,
now you've got the instrumental everything.
But you know, the only thing with some of that, you depending on how it's recorded.
Yeah,
it's not the same.
Your results may vary.
Yeah. Because I was playing with some of the old. I'm like, that don't sound right. So it's different.
Yeah. I tell you, if it's horrible, get somebody with Virtual DJ to do it.
Does it sound better?
It is.
I have to hear it on an older song.
Yeah, it is. They got it right a long time ago.
My buddy Terry has a good point. He says, now you don't got to buy doubles.
Yeah, you don't.
You're right, Terry.
Just load doubles. You don't have to buy them.
Double tap. One more thing on stems, and this isn't for mixing, but I love to use it for announcing. So somebody tells you to make an announcement,
explain.
Just leave the drums in the drums in the bass in, and then you keep your flow going.
And
I don't have to fade down.
You also don't have to tweak knobs on parts in the songs that people want to sing. You can just take out the vocals and they can sing.
For censoring something. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, too. Censoring too. Yeah.
And this is fun to me. I was doing a family reunion and I was playing something. I can't remember what it was. And I pulled something out of it. And it's still going. Somebody looked behind me like, I don't remember that song. So
I mean, you know, it that way.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I'm just playing the regular song. Uh-huh. And I'm highlighting certain things because you can create your own brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And when I did that, I just had the vocals and the drum kick. And the guy looked like, no, that's not how that song goes. But I like it.
It does now.
Yeah,
it does now.
It is wonderful. Oh, man. Yeah. I love it. Y'all, we're gonna, I don't know how long we got to be out, but we're going to try to hit through a few more things.
Okay. Let's do that.
The lightning round.
Do you think AI will replace DJs?
Maybe eventually.
Who are you asking, Craig?
Yeah. Oh, is he AI?
I cannot answer that question.
It does not compute.
I heard about it on the conversation.
I cannot compute. Oh, man.
No, I can see eventually, not tomorrow, but I can imagine that they can get to a point where it can do everything we do. There's something we all talked about in Las Vegas. We talked about earlier today.
We had a long conversation about this.
There's a lot of things I can imagine it already doing with, you know, somebody's wearing one of those watches. You can link to that, you know, with their pulse, how energetic the dance floor is.
Mm-hmm.
Tap into Spotify. What's everybody's favorite song on their playlist? It can play those songs. Put a camera. It can see the energy of the room. Like, there's a lot of things you could probably already teach it to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I could see in a decade that it could probably replicate a lot of what we do. I don't know that it could ever fully replicate that human element and the emotion and just being able to
just know when to change,
know when to do things, or when to say things, but
or the cultural relevance, like,
if there's a singularity, right, and it can think like a human, then it would. I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah,
I would say this, and this is the first time that I've thought about it in this way. There's so much information that's out there, and if it's able to tap into all of the information that's out there, it may not be the same, but it can be very close.
Very close.
Because there's just so much. Just think about this. Just for those that use ChatGPT.
Chatty.
Yeah. I'm just saying, you can ask for some things. And it's like, dang, that kind of sound like me. You know, I'm just saying, it's just, if the information is there, it's kind of hard to say that it can't, or you can't be fooled.
Yeah.
So there's been, computers have been better at chess than humans for like a long time now, right?
Oh,
like a couple decades.
Oh,
and there's still human chess players. I mean, people don't pay to watch a computer play another computer in chess. That'd be boring. Mm-hmm. It's watching humans do things that is entertaining to us. So I think maybe some of those budget brides or budget clients, maybe they'll have AI. But the people that want the real deal, they're going to hire the people that are really good at that craft.
AI, Jim.
I was going to add on to that. It's the experience that creates that human element. And an experience is what demands more of that price, because you can create something that can't just be replicated. Like, your personality creates that experience for the client.
Well, then
what about an AI that could give you Elvis Presley or Tupac hologram?
Then it's the person who owns that AI
is going to make the money. Yes.
Well, the
we got to hedge our bets.
Exactly.
Well, that's exactly right.
But be careful of this. We are trainable. So if we're trained to look at things a certain way, we will be trained to accept things a certain way.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So today we're saying that no. Tomorrow, people may be like, man, forget you. AI Jimmy is better than all of you.
No, I could see that. If they could, I could see both sides of it. But
there's a book, and I can't remember what it was called, but it told us the inevitabilities. I think it was called the 12 inevitabilities of life or whatever. Mm-hmm. And one of it was with AI. And it was like the first stage is no, there's no way that could do what I can. Next stage is, all right, I can do some of the things that I can do, but not everything. Thursday is, okay, you can do all the things I can do, but I need to watch it. The fourth stage is, okay, I don't even need to watch it, but I can work on higher level things now that it's doing that. And then the next stage is, well, it can't do anything. It can't do that. No, it's too far away. But then it can. And then, so it just keeps repeating.
Evolution.
We are going to be using the tools in a better way that it. That's what we are going to
do. When that happens, we'll just be the booking company for the AI Elvis DJ.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. We got to be the ones that build that box.
Yeah,
because
it's just going to be a different experience.
Did you ever think that cars will drive themselves?
Yeah,
I mean, I watched the Jetsons.
Yeah. I still don't think they can.
Jetsons made me think that it would come.
I'm just saying
a whole lot sooner than now.
Yeah, but I figured it was coming.
But still, how many people have self-driving cars now? Less than 1%.
I don't know, but they all got recalled.
Well, I'm getting one, and I was shocked. I was totally shocked. And we rode for about 15 to 20 miles, and we sit there and just met and talk. And when cars got close, it beeped,
Why does it beep? Just so you know that you're almost going to get in a crash?
It notifies you.
If someone was too close.
Yes.
Same way, still control over it.
So, gentlemen, so we don't violate our time, we have our question that we like to ask everybody before we leave. Each one of you guys want to give us one of these. What is a gym, something that you live by, or that's your motto that you can share with our audience?
I'll go first. Wow. Under promise, over deliver.
All right, me. Every gig is an audition for the next gig.
Okay.
All right.
Hmm. Be excellent to each other and party on.
All right.
Wayne's World.
Oh, my goodness.
They don't get it.
I get it.
Villain's
it. But, man, it was great hanging out with you guys down here.
It's a lot of fun.
Thank y'all for the hospitality. Thank y'all for being, so kind to us and inviting us down because, you didn't have to, but you did. And we enjoyed coming down and hanging out with y'all. And some great comments. Somebody said nice comments on AI, y'all. This is a beautiful show. Thank y'all.
Said she got to put the baby girl to sleep.
That's what she said?
Oh, Grace got to go to bed. That's
cool. Okay. But, I mean, it's good. It was really cool and to see some of y'all city and see where y'all operate from and, just everything and getting a nice space for us to do our show from. It's really cool. Yeah. So other people out there, North Carolina, y'all want us to come down. They asked us to come to North Carolina. Yeah, they really
did. Let's go.
Yeah, so.
DJ
Phenomena.
Oh,
Phenomena.
Okay.
Yeah. That's somebody we need to get. We hadn't had Joe Bond on the show yet either, but he wasn't, he hadn't been at a conference that we've been at yet. But we'll get it for it, though.
Yeah, it's an honor.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I would just say this for other people that are out there. It's great to see people work together.
Yeah.
And that there's a genuine, togetherness that y'all have. So it's great to see that. It's a good thing.
Communication is the key.
Yes. And I wish you guys continued growth and let Daddy Greg.
It's DJ Daddy.
DJ Daddy, whatever it is. Let him do it.
No, he's on the right track.
Daddy's
that's not always the right answer, but if you don't ask for it, they won't give it to you. And even when you give them a low price, they will still try to go lower.
Yeah.
So give yourself room to work. That's all right. You can always go down, but you can't
go up, man.
Yeah, that's my philosophy too. Yeah.
And I'll tell you the other thing too. The less they pay, the more they want. The people that just come along.
Oh my gosh! That's
what's your price? We'll take.
That's the gym.
That's it right there. Because somebody who pays you less will want more. Wants you to.
Their expectations.
I did a birthday party for a young 30th birthday party. Not only did I have to carry speakers up a flight of stairs at 2626 because the 2616 is common.
Yeah,
because the elevator.
Which one? Which you went to the top floor?
The second one, the one in the middle where they had that little party spot.
The deck.
No, it was inside.
Okay.
And she wanted this, wanted that. I'm like, you ain't paying no money. and you got all these demands. I'm just trying to be nice. And then it was rude. I was like, okay. You always regret when you 90% of the time when you be nice to somebody and do something that you shouldn't have done.
So what's the answer to that?
Under promise, over deliver.
And learn to say no. Not every client is right.
Yeah.
Some people approach you, you're not the right guy for them. They're not the right client for you. You got to just say, we can't do it.
Yeah.
You can't book every single person that comes your way.
No, you can't.
You said a mouthful.
Take us out of here, Miguel. I'm trying to go home.
Well, we want
to
thank you guys. It was nice again. we shall return.
Can't wait. Get some more steaks.